Let's go back to Haiti here on The Takeaway with Jacqueline Charles. She's the Caribbean correspondent for the Miami Herald. Good morning, Jacqueline.
Good morning.
So let's talk a little bit more about the protests. I wanted to play for you this comment that was made by one of the protesters.
We are asking for the removal of this trash, this social bacteria called the United Nations Stabilization Mission in Haiti. Removal of them from wherever they are. It's not only the issue of cholera. They have to remove them from Haiti.
Jacqueline, just a moment ago, you were talking about how the motives for these protests may go further than just anger and frustration over the cholera epidemic. Perhaps there's some politics that is channeling the anger the Haitians are feeling and using it for political purposes.
Yeah, that is the feeling. And, you know, this is a country that's very volatile. And around election times, it gets even more volatile. So that's why I'm always very cautious of, you know, demonstrations or, you know, what people are saying to you. How is it these things sort of just take fire? I think that what happened in Cape Haitian, it surprised a lot of people, not just because it was a demonstration, but from what we were being told, it seemed very well organized. But then there were these spontaneous demonstrations that took place within that, and it literally shut down the entire city. And so that may have been an underestimation in terms of the frustrations, maybe not necessarily at just the UN, but just frustrations overall about life in Haiti and about one disaster after another.
Jacqueline Charles, Caribbean correspondent for the Miami Herald, talking about arguably understandable anger and frustration in Haiti. I want to introduce our next guest, Philip Alcabas. He's the professor of public health at Hunter College in New York, author of Dread, How Fear and Fantasy Have Fueled Epidemics. Good morning, Philip.
Hello. Nice to be here.
I want to play you this comment. This is from Imogen Wall. She's a spokeswoman for the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs.
People are genuinely very scared. This is a very frightening illness. It can kill in under 4 hours. It's very new to Haiti, so people don't understand it. So we're working very hard to make people understand that they can actually prevent and control it and cure it themselves quite simply.
So we're going to talk a little bit more about where fear comes from and the effects that it has. But one thing that's happening in Haiti is that the UN has stood down. It's keeping them from stopping the spread of cholera because they can't treat patients.
This is social crisis. And in some way, my book, my work is about the history of epidemics. And what do we mean when we talk about epidemics? We only call something an epidemic when there's a social crisis, and not just a social crisis because they happen, but one that's so complex that people, groups with all sorts of political, moral, social viewpoints can claim it as theirs and say, see, we were right.
It's driven by this engine of the other, the fear of the other. I mean, in that sense, in looking at the Haiti story, we're not far away. And even the AIDS epidemic, if you want to go back there, we're not that far from accusing people of being infected with witches or
right.
having demons inside. It's just we have a biological dimension, but the fear spreads just the same.
It seems to be a long, unending, unbroken historical story of pointing fingers at the people you don't like, the ones you're suspicious of, or the moral viewpoints that you're of which you disapprove, and saying, well, you know, there's the problem. So the problem is the UN, or the problem is the Nepalese peacekeepers, or in past epidemics, the problem that you mentioned AIDS, the problem was gay men.
Well, you know, does it change anything if it's true? I mean, we don't know what's true or not in Haiti. It hasn't been confirmed, although a diplomat from Sweden said it's 100% true. We've traced it back to Nepalese peacekeeper.
Yeah.
And the United Nations has said, yes, they've been able to trace it to some country in Asia. But does that make a difference to the response of the people who are suffering from an epidemic, whether it's just a completely unfounded rumor or whether it's based on truth?
So two pieces to the answer. No, it doesn't seem to make much difference to the response. And also, it's not the right question. Epidemics are way too complex because they're social creatures. They're much too complex to pin them on a single cause. And in any case, it would be almost impossible to say what that cause is. In this case, the Ogawa strain of cholera is common throughout that part of Asia. To say it's from Nepal is a way of finger pointing.
It's almost as though information doesn't help or technology often doesn't help. Recall the history of the smallpox epidemic where this brand new technology called vaccination was greeted with terror and riots by people who were actually inoculated.
Yeah. And that's often the story, that there's something new, but the new thing just becomes part of the social crisis. And we see that with the UN here in Haiti.
Well, have we gotten better? I mean, was there something that the United Nations missed doing in order to keep this from happening? Or is it rather inevitable once you have what you call an epidemic?
Have we gotten better? Well, since the 14th century, when the response to the coming of the Black Death was to burn the Jews in the public square. Yeah, I think that the world has largely gotten better.
Wow. That's a happy story here this morning. Yes. But seriously, as a public health strategist, how do you design around dread? You know, that's the title of your book. How do you design around this social crisis?
The sad story is that we seem to see the same problem occurring again and again. I think there's a crucial distinction that the kind of medical relief, of which there's been plenty in Haiti, maybe some of it's going to be blocked now, isn't the same thing as public health. And that there have to be some basic public health maneuvers ahead of time. Once MSF is there with the medical aid tents,
Doctors Without Borders.
Yeah. It's too late. You're closing the barn door after the horse has escaped.
Really, once the medical teams have arrived.
I'm not saying that they're useless. I'm saying that the work to be done to prevent cholera or whatever the outbreak is basic public health work. And that's basic public health is alleviating poverty, making sure everybody has access to sanitation and fresh water. Those things are not getting a lot better.
But in Haiti, where it's hours that mean the difference between life and death, what should be the next step for UN medical teams and peacekeepers?
That's a medical question. I'm not a medical doctor.
It's not a social question?
The social question hasn't changed. The social question is that the social crisis that preceded the earthquake, which the earthquake made worse, is going to have to get fixed. And that's not what the medical relief workers do.
And that's not going to be fixed in a matter of hours. That's for sure. Felix Arkavas is a professor of public health at Hunter College in New York, also author of Dread: How Fear and Fantasy Have Fueled Epidemics. They're talking about the riots in Haiti, where protesters are blaming UN peacekeepers for bringing cholera to Haiti. And in fact, UN peacekeepers and medical teams have stood down because of fears of violence.